Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Rossap. It is March 11th, 2024. We're here with your WWE Raw post-show review. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. A reminder, in addition to youtube.com/Fightful, where you can send your humper chats in and super chats in if you want to get your question or statement right on the air. We are on podcast platforms everywhere. I had somebody hit me up this weekend and say, I didn't know you were on Spotify. Yes, we're on Spotify. We're on Amazon. We're on Apple. We're on all those platforms. So don't just check us out over there. Leave us a nice review. That helps out a lot. Reminder, if you want to get your question or statement on the air, leave your question here at youtube.com/Fightful via Super Chat. Or if you're watching on Twitch or Facebook or Twitter, go over to humperchats.com. That's humperchats.com. We've got Denise Salcedo here. Denise with her nice new hair. How are you, Denise?
Wow, Sean, you actually gave me a compliment. I can't believe it.
I compliment you all the time. This is a very one-sided feud that you have built up in your brain.
You know, the other day,
it's like my Twitter trolls. Like, you just say venomous shit to me because you have conjured up this imaginary feud.
Oh, imaginary feud. You tell people that I take massive thunder shits.
No. I don't.
Sean, you're alfalfa. Your hair is sticking up.
Oh my gosh. You get one. Okay, my point stands. Exactly.
It's still up.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, actually.
Good? You're going to be all right?
You're real life alfalfa.
There we go. You happy? Look, got more.
Now you look like Jimmy Neutron. Now you look like Jimmy Neutron.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Okay. Anyways. Oh, boy. No, actually, the other day I was thinking about this. I was like, I should be nicer to Sean.
Does that tempt you to be meaner to me right there? Look how many are up, Denise.
Nah, because I can't think of who you look like now with that hairstyle.
Anyway, leave a thumbs up on this video. If you're watching after the fact, leave us a nice comment. How about this one, guys? I will be out of the office on Wednesday dealing with some family matters. Jimmy is out for the next couple of weeks. Considering the nature of the lawsuit and all that stuff, I might see if Jimmy wants to record some other time. But Wednesday, in the normal time slot for the hump, we're going to be bringing you a 30-minute interview with Swerve Strickland. I will also have a special edition of List Goes On as well. But 30 minutes, it is one of my favorite interviews I've done. I did it at Lexington Toy and Comic Con. It was a really, really good time. We talked about his theme music, horror movie inspirations, all of the Hangman stuff. There were some people that thought that his stuff before the Hangman feud or Hangman match was a little too in character. This is completely pulling back the curtain. It was one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. He talks about Hangman drinking his blood, about how far they went in the match, the triple threat, people fantasy booking him versus Ospreay. It's a good time. So in the time slot of the hump Wednesday, that'll be happening. And this week I am filming an interview, the first one with Sean Spears since he has left AEW. So keep it locked here to youtube.com/Fightful. And Denise, ahead of the show going on the air, we had a report by Brandon Thurston, John Pollock, and Tim Marchman. And I just want to say this, I've had the good fortune of speaking with Tim a number of times. Tim also appeared on Fightful Overbooked's In the Weeds, which In the Weeds has done some of the best, most thoughtful video coverage of the lawsuit that I have seen. Joel Pearl and Jeremy Lambert have handled that phenomenally. on Fightful Overbooked. So please check that out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. But Brandon Thurston, a guy who you know we have worked with many times here at Fightful, and John Pollock, two guys who certainly have different approaches than I, but approaches that I admire greatly. They are two of the best to ever do it. They did a lot of great work, and they effectively found out who the unnamed members in the lawsuit were. And this was confirmed by Janelle Grant's attorney as well. And those include Nick Kahn and Brad Bloom. Now, it is important to note right off the bat, those two are not accused of having anything to do with any physical abuse or sex trafficking or the like. And WWE has issued a statement that says WWE takes Ms. Grant's allegations very seriously and has no tolerance for physical abuse or unwanted physical contact. Neither Nick Kahn nor Brad Bloom, prior to the lawsuit being filed on January 25th, 2024, were aware of any allegation by Ms. Grant that she was the victim of abuse or unwanted physical contact, nor does the complaint allege that either had knowledge of such. We have a full article on Fightful, but I certainly want to encourage you to check out the original reporting at Front Office Sports, in which Tim Marchman is now instrumental in. I really encourage you guys to check this out. But this is one of those things that is obviously never good for WWE when you've got Nick Kahn being named in a lawsuit, Stephanie McMahon being named as a person, as corporate officer number three, and Brian Nurse, who was formerly a general counsel and head of WWE's legal department, as corporate officer number four. When I had an update on this a couple weeks ago, Denise, one of the WWE sources I spoke with said that they believed at least one of these names had been long gone from the company. Stephanie McMahon and Brian Nurse have been long gone from the company for a while, but I don't know if you had the chance to look over this. I understand that it was a lot to look over right before Raw, but any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I definitely saw that right away because I, you know, also really enjoy the work that John Pollock does and Brandon Thurston do. I think they've been doing some great coverage of the entire thing. In fact, like, I just remember, like, you know, they being some of the first people to like really post a lot of this stuff from the lawsuit and helping educate people in understanding a lot of the, you know, the legal terms and things of that nature. Right. And so right away when I saw that, I clicked on it and was reading the article. And at first, like, I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm reading the headline and I'm thinking, shit, like, what does this mean? But once you go in and like you read it, from my understanding, it's like, you know, they were aware of like what Janelle Grant was there for, but they were not, from my understanding of this, not aware of the actual abuse that was, you know, later on detailed in that lawsuit. From my understanding, it didn't seem like they knew to the extent of what was happening between Vince McMahon and Janelle. And so it's like, it's ugly waters, right, Sean? Because it's like, this should have probably been stopped already, like beforehand. But then if you're thinking, oh, it's just an affair, I don't know. It's like a weird line, right?
From what I understand, a lot of the pushback they were getting within WWE was, oh, well, it wasn't even against the rules then. It's like, well, the things that are outlined in that lawsuit are against not just rules, that they're against the law.
Right. Giving people like these fake jobs that aren't even like, you know.
I mean, not even that. Like, that's not, you can give anybody a fake job, but I mean like the physical abuse and trafficking elements of this. But I mean the thing, so I mean Khan is denying it, or at least through WWE knowledge of this, but the claim is that McMahon presented Bloom and Khan to Janelle Grant as his key fixers, according to the suit. Now, we're going to wait for more details to emerge there. Nick Kahn has certainly fixed an awful lot of things within WWE. It led them to their most financially rewarding situation ever. But there's a ton to dive into. And listen, I just want to address this. Somebody says, is it true that Brock is back on innocent? No, we don't have any insight on that. Brock was never off the roster page. I cannot convey this enough. Brock Lesnar was never removed from the WWE online roster page. At all. At all. So,
I think now, like, the question in everybody's mind is to how much, what was known, right? Like, to what extent did Nick Khan, like, what did he know specifically about this relationship between Vince McMahon and Janelle Grant? Like, what was known? I think that was really my big question coming out of it. And, you know, it's not a good look, of course, regardless. It's not a good look. But now it's just a matter of like, well, what did you know? What was kind of just swept under the rug, essentially?
In any way you can prove that someone had knowledge of abuse and didn't do anything, they gotta go. They gotta go. Objectively, right. Gotta go. Unfortunate there. We're going to dig more into this certainly throughout the week.
I did think the other thing that I should probably be mentioned was I did think it was interesting, the Stephanie McMahon portion of that, Sean, where it was said that they couldn't get a hold of, like, they sent direct messages.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like they can get a hold of even someone that was could have spoken on her behalf, like a representative, a lawyer or something.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was very interesting when I read that. And I'm like,
I mean, I can tell you I was reached out by from one of the three. I don't think they would be upset that I would share that to see if I had contact info. Of course, I didn't know specifically that's what it was for. And not only did I didn't have the info, I had outdated info. And when I tried to get updated info, I was kind of told that's not really being shared right now. It seems like she doesn't want to be in the limelight. Or obviously doesn't want to be highlighted here. Right. Of course she doesn't want to be reached out to now.
I mean, I would imagine that she would have somebody that could at least give some sort of generic statement on her behalf.
Sure. Sure. Oh, man. We do have a bunch of super chats, humper chats. Gorilla Press says, Gorilla Press has returned. Hey, everyone. Hey, Gorilla Press says, catch you at WrestleCon. I will be there getting a couple interviews. Right now, I'm scheduled to fly out of Philadelphia Saturday, and it looks like I'm going to do that. But I'll be there some on Friday after I get some WWE interviews and the like. But Pavement Cut Your Hair says, Denise, you dyeing your hair red next week too?
I mean, at this point, you never know. I'm having, you know, that's what they say, right? When a girl cuts her bangs or she gets red hair, she's going through it, man. I was just bored.
Lord Blake Whitehouse says, why doesn't Bron Breakker wear his tag title on SmackDown? I think they stay at the Performance Center. I think the titles just stay there. Does Brock deserve Hall of Fame after all these scandals? As things stand, I don't think they would touch that right now. Down the line, depending on how they age and what they find out about Brock's potential involvement in such, I think that'll be a TBD. But we kicked off WWE Raw with a Drew McIntyre promo. And he combats the what chants, Denise. It's the typical CM Punk burial that he has become so good at. He's phenomenal at, like, he's just trolling nonstop. He's posting the picture of the guy who cried when he came back to AEW. Yeah. He dropped an empty-headed dumb fuck reference regarding Hangman Page about CM Punk on Twitter. His hatred no bounds right now. And he says, CM Punk, you can thank me. I'm the only person keeping you relevant right now. Before we get into the Rollins element, like, man, Drew McIntyre has become such a slam dunk, he needs to win at WrestleMania type of name, Denise. Like,
I feel bad because when Seth Rollins' music hit, I was like, damn, no, I want to keep hearing Drew McIntyre talk his shit. Like, that's what I want to hear in this whole thing, like, honestly. And it was funny, too, because, like, the last couple of weeks, I kept thinking to myself, like, honestly, Drew McIntyre is doing such good work at keeping us talking about CM Punk, at keeping CM Punk in the forefront of our minds, because obviously right now he's out due to injury. And aside from the little video package that they played like several weeks ago, like we haven't really seen much of him. I know they announced him for March 25th on Raw. Cool. But like during this whole time period, we have not really seen or heard or had any really impactful updates or anything like that, right? So like to me, I was thinking it, Drew McIntyre is keeping CM Punk relevant. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Obviously Drew McIntyre meant it in a totally different way. But when Drew McIntyre said it, I was like, yes, that is exactly what we're getting here right now. Like when CM Punk comes back, the, you know, when he officially is able to wrestle again, you just know that Drew McIntyre is screwed and everyone's going to have that reaction. Everyone's expecting that match. I'm more excited for when they decide to do Drew McIntyre. Not when they decide, but when they can do Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk, then I am Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins. Hell, Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. I am now far more interested in Drew CM Punk because of the work that he has been doing, not just on screen, but on social media. Like he's been utilizing social media the best to further a feud than like anyone right now.
Yeah, he's killing it. He's creating buzz every single time that he tweets about something like this. Seth Rollins came out and Drew even imitated him. He's like, you know what you came in here and told me? You were like, ha ha, stop paying attention to the Judgment Day. Ha ha. He is like, I remembered that because I hate it when you do that. I like it when you're serious. And I did exactly what you told me. And then exactly what you told me didn't prevent Bloodline from interrupting my match, from ruining my situation like always. And Damian Priest kept getting involved no matter what. But then you couldn't take your own advice and leave the Bloodline alone. And now I'm in a situation where I'm facing a guy who has been previously injured and now might not even actually make it to our title match at WrestleMania. So Drew McIntyre, Drew won't physically attack Seth Rollins because he just wants Rollins to make it to WrestleMania so he can beat him. He's got no fear of Rollins. He's got a fear of hurting Rollins so bad that Rollins can't even make it to his first match at Mania, much less his second match. It's such a different, unique approach to a heel and a babyface and all that, to where we've seen the, I want you at 100%, yada, yada. But this one's different because there's two matches. Drew won't even touch him because Drew's like, please don't wrestle. Please don't do anything. Wrap yourself in bubble wrap. I thought this was so great.
This was good. I really liked that. Because here's the thing, like Seth Rollins has been so involved in everything going on with Cody and Roman and all of that, right? He's been so involved in that I feel like a lot of people, like even though we haven't forgotten the match between Drew McIntyre and Seth, it felt like Drew was really doing like most of the legwork when it came to telling the story between both of them. So I feel like this confrontation was definitely needed. And Seth Rollins kind of telling Drew McIntyre that he was so low on his priorities list, I have mixed feelings about that. Because I'm like, it's a big time shot at Drew McIntyre. But at the same time, I don't want to hear that the guy who's defending his World Heavyweight Championship in a pretty big match is not really seeing Drew so high up there in terms of priorities. So I was sort of, I had mixed reactions when it came to that particular line. The one line that did hit for me, and it was primarily again because of Drew and CM Punk, was when Seth Rollins told Drew that he had never met a bigger hypocrite than Drew McIntyre. I'm sorry, that he originally thought CM Punk was the biggest hypocrite until he met Drew McIntyre. I liked that because that essentially, because you know, Drew McIntyre was insulted by that, having to be compared to the person he hates the most, CM Punk. So for me, like that kind of continued to further that whole story with CM Punk and Drew. But that was probably the highlights for me on that end. So it wasn't a total hit for me, the Seth Rollins portion of it, but there were some hits, obviously.
I thought it worked out very well. KE775 says Punk is a special guest referee in Rollins McIntyre. or on commentary feels like he'll be involved in some fashion. WWE want him around. I would love to see him as the special guest referee.
What? No, I was going to say commentary.
That too, but
you know why? Because I don't like special guest referees because it always turns into something too silly. And I tune in because I want to see the wrestling, you know? I don't want to see all the silly stuff. Like, I'm sorry. I would prefer him to be on commentary.
I would love to see Drew pinning Rollins emphatically while Punk like tries to make a slow count, like counts one, stares at him, counts two, stares at him, and it doesn't matter. He just wins. Oh, I would love that. But Punk will be there in 2 weeks on Raw. They're going to try to milk that one as they should. We got Becky Lynch defeating Liv Morgan. This one got a lot of time. And Carter says, Becky, Liv, Rhea, triple threat at Backlash. No. No extra ingredients. No additions. No three-way, no four-way, no five-way, no six-way.
Not even a Backlash?
No 12-person ladder match. None of it. Okay, you know what? A Backlash, possibly.
He said Backlash. Mania. No, you know why you were thinking it? Because remember when they were calling it WrestleMania Backlash?
Yes, yes. That is.
They don't call it that anymore, right? They don't call it that anymore? No, right?
They don't call it that anymore.
Yeah, okay.
I think that you're right. So yeah, a little quick on the trigger there I was. I was just so used to people saying, oh, they're going to add Liv. No, they're not going to add Liv. Liv is great. She's doing an incredible job in this role. Had a really good match here as well. This got three segments and was good in the ring. Before we get to the promo and everything that followed, how'd you feel about this? Because based on the way they conditioned us, it was like, is this going to be a DQ? Is this going to be a no contest? Like, how will this play out?
I think everybody was expecting Nia Jax to come in here and be like, it's my turn, bitches, and now ruin one of their matches. Because that's literally what they had been doing with Becky Lynch and with Liv Morgan the last couple of weeks. So I think everybody was expecting Nia Jax in this particular moment. I'm so happy that she did not and that they allowed them to have this straightforward match between the two. And dude, I thought Liv Morgan was so impressive during this. Like, there was only one spot that I didn't love, and it was her dive to the outside, but that's fine. Everything else I enjoyed. The code breakers that she did multiple times, I thought were I thought that she looked good during all of that. And I feel like every now and then Liv Morgan tends to surprise us, and every time she surprises us, her fan base grows a little stronger in the sense that they want to continue to push, you know, root for Liv Morgan, as they should, right? Because that's what fans should do. And so I loved the way that she looked in this match. I love the way Becky looked in this match, and their moment that they had afterwards where they shook hands and then got attacked by Nia Jax. I liked that too, because I at least liked that at the end of the day, Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan, at least for the time being, looked like they were on the same page together.
Yep. Got to agree there. KE775 says, I think Becky is going to change her character post-Mania. Does she go full-blown heel or just tweener? Feels like she needs a change and she knows it. I think she does know it. I mean, Becky Lynch is one of the smartest people in wrestling, period. And after, we'll roll that into what we're talking about here. Rhea confronts Becky after the match, comes out, gets in her face, says that Becky is accepting all these matches because she knows that she can't beat Rhea and she's looking for a built-in excuse. Funny enough, this is very similar to what Drew McIntyre is saying about Seth Rollins, except Drew McIntyre is sincerely concerned that Seth Rollins won't make it there. But it's very similar. It's almost like it runs in the household, so to speak. This is the match that, gosh, since we've been talking about this for a year, that I've been saying, like, WrestleMania main event level match. Now, obviously, we know what the main events are likely to be, but I'm so pumped for this. But that wasn't it. Liv confronted Rhea a little bit. There's still unresolved stuff there. So for Liv fans, there is a light at the end of this tunnel. I don't know if it's beating Rhea Ripley, but it is certainly having a program with Rhea Ripley, because Liv says, I'm going to take away everything that you love. Backstage, Liv and Becky shake hands, and Nia attacks both of them. power bombs Becky into a table next to a bunch of t-shirts, but they're still keeping Nia and Liv involved. Do you think that Nia and Liv end up with a one-on-one match at WrestleMania?
I feel like this, they would have to, right? I mean, I don't know that they have to, they don't have to, especially but they definitely could.
Especially if you got six tag teams in one match, there's going to be some room on this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, they are doing the last woman standing match next week with Becky and Nia, but let's not forget.
That was also a thing that we had said, sorry to interrupt, on the show. I was like, Becky's going to get that win back. It's not just going to be left unresolved. She's getting the win back over Nia. Like, that was the whole point of Nia beating her. I thought it was masterfully crafted, where Nia got the first win, then she challenged for the title, then Becky gets her win back en route to her title match.
Yeah, so is there a possibility that they would do that match into a triple threat with Liv and Becky and Nia next week? I mean, I know they already announced it, so probably not, but Liv Morgan was also attacked backstage.
Yeah, they can't, though. It's a last woman standing. Like, how do you triple threat that?
I don't know. You beat them both and hope they're both down at the same time.
I think Liv could help Becky win that match, and then it sets up their Mania match.
Oh, that would be better. DQ. Yes, yeah. That would be better. Yes. Okay, sign up that idea. I like that one.
Yeah. By the way, Becky's new book comes out soon. Going to get a copy of that. Very excited to check that out. But Rock Hard Joel Wood says, I think Rhea beats Becky and Liv is the one who beats Rhea. It's possible, honestly. I look at it and I think Liv has a better chance of beating Rhea than Becky does. Becky doesn't need it. I think Liv does need it. And I think that this is Rhea putting another stamp on her title reign.
I feel like I can't agree, only because I almost see Rhea's reign, and I know it's not exactly the same, right? But I see her in the same light that I saw Gunther's reign, right? Obviously, his reign has been a lot stronger because of the defenses that he's had and everything. But because he has just grown so, like, they have the same sort of presence, like the don't F with this person presence, that it makes you feel like they're unbeatable. And that's what Gunther is for the men, and that's how I see Rhea for the women. And so for me, it just takes a lot more. It's going to take a lot more for me to be convinced that that Liv Morgan should defeat Rhea Ripley. Now, I'm not expecting Becky Lynch to defeat Rhea Ripley, but because of all of Becky Lynch's accolades, if anyone was going to beat Rhea, I would expect it to be Becky, because she's already built up that reputation. She has that reputation that she can definitely beat Rhea Ripley. And I don't think that they've built a strong enough reputation just yet for Liv Morgan there's very few people that I can say that I can buy them right now at this moment defeating Rhea Ripley, only because of the star that she has become.
Ryan brings up a good point, and I would be completely fine if she held it for another full year and loses to Bianca at Mania 41, because that is another main event quality match, in my opinion. Interesting note here. I mean, it's all but guaranteed now, because WrestleMania will be it's about 4 or 5 days later than it was last year. Rhea will hit the 1 year mark as champion, which she's done. Bianca has done with the other title. And Bayley has done, Becky Lynch has done, and that's it on the main roster in a long, long time, as best I know. And, you know, those are four of the tip-top names. Like, even Charlotte hasn't, because she's got her smaller reigns and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
Oh, man. But I'm liking the way this is playing out, and I could stand to see Liv and Nia. I would love them to get a hardcore match, something like that. And make it a top contender match or something like that at WrestleMania. Add some stakes to that. Cadillac Carson says Punk could try to count the three, but then look at Drew and say his tricep is still hurt. Could.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely could. Well, guys, AEW has announced Dynasty for next month. I won't be there because I'm wrestling that day at Paulcade. Please go donate to the Humane Society of Washington County, but I'll be watching on pay-per-view, but I'm going to get it much more affordably thanks to NordVPN. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Yes, boy, says Denise. Love the bangs. Reminds me of Selena.
Thank you.
So it's official. There is a ladder match at WrestleMania for the tag team titles. To me, I thought that it was going to be Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth or maybe Truth and Cena. Listen, I think the story is there for R-Truth to win, certainly. But listen, from a quality perspective, I'm very excited for this. Next week, we got DIY versus the Creeds, which is wow. New Day versus Otis and Tozawa, as far as we know, because they could very easily say Otis and Gable now. And Awesome Truth versus Indu Share. Matt Hennessy says, who wins those next week? I'm guessing Awesome Truth, DIY, and New Day. Well, Indu Share ain't winning.
Aw, damn, I had my money on them, Sean.
I put my money on Mia Yim every week, and then I lose my life savings. I think that DIY win, Awesome Truth, and New Day. I think it's pretty.
I want the Creed brothers to win. I know I'm asking for a lot, but I would be very happy if they won the entire thing.
KE775 says, bit weird, Imperium is in a qualifying match for the ladder match at Mania next week. I would like it if maybe they did like a last chance match or something like that too, because they're still, gosh, there's still two more teams after next week to be announced as well. And a whole bunch of SmackDown teams that haven't got in either. So I don't even know how you would go about doing that.
But I didn't even realize we had that many teams.
Oh my gosh. There's like 15, 16 teams on the main roster.
It came out of nowhere. Remember when there was like nothing?
There was, yeah. But I mean, now there's just so many. Like, let me look right now at all the teams. Because there's a lot. Alpha Academy, Creed Brothers, DIY, Imperium, Indu Share, Judgment Day, New Day, Viking Raiders, but they're obviously sidelined, which is unfortunate. Really, two iterations of Judgment Day as well, because you've got Dom and JD as well. AOP, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, The Bloodline, Jimmy Uso and Solo. You've got the LWO, Legado del Fantasma, New Catch Republic, Pretty Deadly, and the Street Profits. That's a lot of teams. And you could say two iterations of Legado and all that stuff as well. And that doesn't even include the Good Brothers as well, who are barely on TV. But yeah,
they're NXT now. So do they still count?
I mean, they're still on the roster. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, look, I'm personally more excited that they announced the six-pack challenge. Because, or the six-pack ladder match, rather. I just think it's more interesting, you know, like getting all these guys out there, throwing in the ladder, makes it more fun. I think I'm far more interested in this than when I thought it was originally just going to be like the Judgment Day and R-Truth and The Miz. Like, I'm sure everybody loves all that, but like, I just really wasn't all that interested in that.
Well, we saw a little bit of a preview of this. So backstage, Judgment Day isn't happy at all. Rhea sees Andrade and says, hey, Dominic isn't here. By the way, he's celebrating his wedding with his wonderful wife. Congratulations to them. But says that they can talk business soon. And Finn Balor goes to bat for Andrade. He says, listen, I know about him. Dominic's right. He can bring a lot to the table. would you like to see Andrade in Judgment Day?
Andrade doesn't scream gothic to me, so I'm going to say no. No, he does not look like he shops at Hot Topic. And I'm personally hoping for the disbandment of Judgment Day. I'm really? Over it. Yeah, I'm over it. I'm done. Wow. Let's move on to something else.
They've had a phenomenal run, though, for a group that looked dead for sure. in the they looked dead in the water. And then all of a sudden, there you go.
Well, Damian I don't think Priest. It's going to happen also because Damian Priest didn't look too happy about it. JD McDonagh just looked irritated. The only one that looked interested was Rhea and Finn.
JD doesn't want anybody else in the group. he's like, I'm the last one.
Because he worked. He took how long to get in? This was a story that they had going for like a year. I don't know. It felt like a year.
Gary says, too bad we couldn't have one team from NXT. Yeah, I get that. But also, they've got their own show and it's going to be a big show. So
then
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In that case, you wouldn't put the Good Brothers then because they're NXT talents now. They officially said they were NXT talents.
Sure. I mean,
now they're out the door because if I'm going to see any team in there, then you might as well throw in the Wolf Dogs.
I guess.
Because technically, Bron Breakker is a main roster talent.
Not technically. He is. He just is. And I want to see what the hell he does at Mania. That's what I want to know. They better put him in a squash at Mania, for the love of God. Just while everybody is checking out WrestleMania, put him up against somebody, have him destroy them in 2 minutes, and then people go, holy shit, look at him. Oh, he's Rick Steiner's kid. Okay. Makes sense to me.
I agree. I think they should do that. I was thinking they should put Akira Tozawa in that, but then I'm like, he's on the Raw brand, so that wouldn't work. It would have to be someone on SmackDown, but I can't think of someone on SmackDown right now that I would put in that spot.
Jay Miller says, I like the six pack so other teams get on the card, but it feels like given Miz Truth win and Imperium not getting a shot with winning the New Day feud. That is something that needs to be reckoned with. So I would like to see them get a shot there. I would love to see
I don't really want to see The Miz and R-Truth become champions. Because I already know what we're going to get. We're just going to get a bunch of hokey stuff. And I want to see like a legitimate team. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm sure a legitimate team will beat them probably in pretty short order. I think it'll be a very, very... I think it'd be like the Zack Ryder Intercontinental title win at Mania and then he dropped it the next night. No, not a lot of people remember that he lost it the next night. A lot of people remember that he won it. So I think
that's true. Okay, fine. Just so you can have a WrestleMania moment. I get
Damian Priest beat R-Truth, by the way. Fair, fine match. R-Truth doing the John Cena offense. Damian Priest has just taken every single opportunity that he has been given in Judgment Day and maximized it and become a TV star. Good on him. Like, he has been such a great success story just in general. So dude works his ass off. We had N. Simmons saying if they were to take the title off Rhea and give it to Liv, they would need to build her up quickly because Tiffany Stratton is quickly becoming a top star and babyface. Well, I guess they're on different brands. Like, I mean, Tiffany Stratton, yes, though. Like, Tiffany Stratton is a phenom, Denise. Like, yeah. Even when Anna was interviewing Tiffany. So I hadn't yet seen Tiffany's reaction from the press conference. So when Anna said, you got one of the biggest reactions, I thought she was being sarcastic. Then I went back and watched it and I was like, oh shit. And then it wasn't just a geographical thing. It's happening in the United States as well. And it happened with her being on TV for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
What a success story she's been.
It really is. And here's the thing. I think that the people have been waiting for this because I hate to say this, but when I was sitting at the Royal Rumble and I was watching it, there were a lot of entrants. There was a lot of entrants that have been on the main roster for a very long time that when they came out did not get any reaction, Sean. And I know it sucks to say, but they did not get any reactions. And those are the people that, you know, they've been called up and just haven't really done anything. Like, nothing has happened there. And so I feel like from a crowd perspective, like as a fan, you want to start to see someone that you don't want to just root for someone just to root for them. You want to root for someone that legitimately has a shit ton of talent, and not just like you have the talent, but the personality, the look, all of it. This is one of those moments where all of the boxes have been checked. All of the stars have been aligned. All the dots have been dotted. The I's have been dotted. The T's have been crossed. You name it. That is what's happening right now with Tiffany Stratton. And the fans recognize that because it's been a while since we've gotten a new face that can truly go up there and compete with some of your top names. I feel like the last time we saw this was with somebody, and it was Bianca Belair. She came in and she said, yeah, I'm new, but you know what? I'm going to make things happen. And I think that's what we're seeing with Tiffany Stratton.
We're seeing more cohesion between NXT and the main roster as well. Like, Triple H and Shawn Michaels play a lot nicer than Vince McMahon and anybody, because Vince McMahon would just Leroy Jenkins his ass in there and be like, I'm taking them. And oh, by the way, they're going to be completely different. And that's something that Shawn Michaels has brought up. He's like, well, they're getting over more because you're seeing the product that we have refined on NXT. So I think it's going great. Alvin says, Liv says she's going to take everything Rhea loves. Does that include breaking Judgment Day up? You know?
Go Liv.
That could be something.
Go Liv. Yeah. I'm rooting for you.
Ryan says one grabs a SmackDown title, one grabs a Raw title. You know, for everybody saying they should split the titles, that could be a way that they do it. I think that's a very unsatisfactory
what ending. I mean, it could happen, right? You got the ladder, you got two teams on each side, and then they go and they're fighting, they're punching, they're doing the thing, and then finally they're like, at the same time they both fall. Wait, what a minute, what do we do? I don't know.
Rock Hard Joel Wood says, when's the last time a wrestler with absolutely no wrestling experience got over as quickly as Tiffany? Well, I mean, Bad Bunny and Logan Paul probably, but if we're talking, it depends on if we're talking about like time. Because she's been wrestling for 2.5 years and has about 75 matches. Julia Hart is right around there, and she's super over. Like, she's 22 years old. As I look, she's had about 79 matches, and she's been wrestling. She's been wrestling a lot longer, though. Like, she's been wrestling since around the pandemic. So that one's maybe not comparable. And she was on AEW main roster stuff as well. It'd probably be a celebrity, honestly. Braun will get over. I mean, Braun Breaker is probably the one. He showed up and got over really quick. Oh, boy. So, not much to talk about by the match. Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell beat Ivy Nile, Maxine Dupree. They are playing off of Maxine Dupree getting heckled by a fan. And Candice gets in her face, and Maxine is very good at acting. She's very good at looking like even though she's 8 inches taller than Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae is bullying her in the corner. I've got a picture to pull up, Denise. But Candice says stuff like, you're going to cry? Like, the reason you get booed is because you don't belong here. You're upset about what people on the internet say? Imagine what all the girls backstage say. And there's not really, Maxine doesn't really do a whole lot to that. She gets kicked in the face and pinned, and that's a wrap.
And she brought up one of her dead relatives. I think it was her brother.
Oh, shit. I didn't even see
that. Yeah, she was like, your brother's dead. He's not going to be here to, like, I forgot.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, she said that. I was like, damn, girl, like, shit.
So mean. We got saying Mr. Acosta saying add Candice to Hater of the Year. Denise, I officially announced 2 weeks ago we're adding Hater of the Year to the Fightful Awards. Even if it's a one-year thing, this year is so full of hate that we got to add it. KE775 says, intrigued by Candice's heel turn. Hopefully they give her some substance, not just make her one of those heels that lose week after week. Cadillac Carson says, we add the Candice LeRae to the list of haters or contenders for Hater of the Year. Yep. Line Drive says, given what Candice did to Shotzi's tank last time, she was in this mood. Maxine got off easy. Dream Ninja says, I love evil hater Candice finally doing something with her. And says, Mania is looking real good. Becky Rhea, Io Bailey, Sammy Gunther, tag ladder match, Seth Drew, Cody Roman are all slappers. Candice being a hater. Well, I'll tell you what, I've had an interview in the can for about a month and a half with her. I'm releasing that shit this week.
Is it the one where we were in a line and then we were in the wrong line and then we got in the line again and there was a whole thing, a whole misunderstanding?
I asked her about the lumbar check, yeah. But what do you think about hating ass Candice LeRae, who is truly one of the sweetest people?
Yeah, I was going to say, she's very, very sweet.
So is Maxine. Maxine's wonderful too.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, I know we all think we're nice, right? We all think we're nice, but then you meet certain people and you're like, God damn, you're so freaking nice. That to me is Candice LeRae. She's just very sweet. But anyway,
you're nice?
Yes. Like the nicest person you know, Sean. Anyways, so so I was going to say what I would like to see.
Denise was so mean, she got 5 minutes added to our wait at a restaurant.
Oh my God, I did not get 5 minutes added to our wait. Anyways, I've been trying to say something for the last 20 minutes about Candice LeRae, and that is that I think she should change her look, by the way. If she's going to be being like mean, no more of like the fairy things that she comes out with, the little wings and the colorful. I think she should go like a little darker, you know, a little moodier, a little bit more villain.
You know, I think that could be good. I do like the darker shade and all that stuff and really accentuate the fact that she's a jerk. Now, I think Candice will be able to, or Indy will be able to play it off.
Because she reminds me. She reminds me, when I look at Candice LeRae, I think of cotton candy. And cotton candy is so sweet. So she needs to switch it up now. She's going to be mean. She's got to switch up the look.
Tell you what, if you're feeling dark and moody, maybe you need to get better sleep. Thanks to Helix. HelixSleep.com/Fightful changed my life before there even was a HelixSleep.com/Fightful. A few years ago, I needed a better night's sleep. I looked for the best mattress online and I found Helix and their incredible reviews. I took their online quiz. It took me about 2 or 3 minutes and I was matched up to their Dusk Luxe model. I now have 2 of their mattresses in my home. It's phenomenal. If somebody comes over and sleeps at my house, I want them to have a wonderful Helix mattress. I wanted to invest in my sleep and the comfortability of others as well. And you can do that as well at helixsleep.com/Fightful. You'll take that quiz, get matched up to one of the many mattress options that they have that suits your needs, and it ships straight to your door. And if for some reason you don't like it after 100 nights, they'll come and get it for free. They're not going to make you pay to ship it back. They're going to make it easy for you. Incredible reviews. Flexible financing options are available. HelixSleep.com. Invest in your sleep. You will never regret it. Ideally, you spend 1/3 of your life in your bed anyway. You're going to want this. They've got an incredible warranty and tons of options for you. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Check it out. I truly love HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Will Chisholm says, Candice went Christian Cage with dead jokes. Yeah.
She did.
I did not know. Alvin said, Christian Cage, smiling at Candace.
His long lost daughter. She's Nick Wayne's sister.
Yeah. We got a UFC recap and they showed Rhea Ripley there with Buddy Matthews.
I know.
I even though things are a little different now. I mean, we had the acknowledgement of Sting and the reference last week to the match. It's still a little jarring, even though it shouldn't be. This should be completely normal. It was still a little jarring. And then Pat McAfee goes, "Who's she with?"
Nah, dude, my brain glitched for a bit because obviously, you know, he was with WWE. And for like a split second, I was like, he's still with them. Like, he's not with them anymore, right? I'm like, yeah,
how
black?
How wrestling brained are we that we just see a picture of somebody with a person they love and we go, huh? What?
Well, I'm sorry. It's still real to me, damn it. Okay. I need them to edit his face out and put Dominic Mysterio in there, or else it's just gonna be weird, you know? Come on, what are we doing here? If you think about it, it is a little weird because, you know, there's people that watch and are like, you know, sure, it's still real to them. So there's probably someone out there right now. There's probably a little kid out there right now going, "Why was Rhea Ripley with that guy?" Because I don't know. Well,
in character, what on earth would Dom do about it? You know what I mean?
But I don't know. Cry?
Kabuki Warriors defeated Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark. Easy Breezy says, with Jade, Naomi, both confronting Damage Control, do they team up at Mania against the Kabuki Warriors? It's the vibes I'm getting. I think that would be good. You get Jade in there with three people, three veterans, and that's who you work with. I'm still of the... I wish they would do a battle royal and then Jade eliminates like everybody.
Yeah, but we already saw her have her moment in the Royal Rumble. So like that's enough for the battle royals and all that stuff.
Eliminated a person. Who cares?
Yeah, but I don't like battle royals. So no, it's just something else. I like the other idea better.
Well, I'm all for that idea as well. Any thoughts on the Kabuki Warriors, Zoe and Shayna? Yes. This was, I thought, appropriately built. They had been giving Shayna and Zoe an awful lot of wins on TV. And they had me convinced at one point. I was like, oh, shit, they're about to win this with the Kairi spot.
Me too. There was a couple of moments where I thought that Zoe and Shayna were actually going to win. And you know what? I would not have been mad about it. I mean, and I would have been like, oh, you know, because we're going into Io Sky and Bayley, I think Damage Control should have their gold and whatnot. So for that reason, maybe I would have been a little bit like, eh. But truthfully, Shayna and Zoe are such a good tag team that they were just looking so grounded in there. Like they really had their feet firm to the ground. And it felt like they could honestly beat the Kabuki Warriors and go on to be a good team. Like this is the first time where I've truly felt like I was sold on a tag team that I probably wouldn't have put together in the first place, but they work great as a team. But on top of that, this was the best women's tag team match that we've gotten in a while here on Raw.
Yeah, this was really good. This is what I want to see more of. One team getting built up to face another team. And then, you know what? If they lose, teams lose all the time. People lose all the time. Win them in the ring, lose them in the ring.
They got matching gear too now. I don't know. They didn't have matching gear before, did they?
I can't remember.
Well, I noticed it this week. And this week it really stood out to me.
Jim says Dominic's wife can break up mommy and Dom Dom. Nah. We had Cody Rhodes interview. Oh, I loved this. Of course I'm going to love this. Cody is asked by Michael Cole, like, why are you hanging out with Seth? And Cody goes, people can change. I'm hanging out with Jey Uso too, because I believe that he could change. I have changed. He said, Michael Cole, you used to sit out there in a plexiglass enclosure in a singlet and just used to berate all of us all the time. You've changed. And he played Michael Cole dressing him down. Like Michael Cole, who, if that would have been this year, would have been in the running for hater of the year for sure. And he says, you know what? We're in the bottom of the ninth inning. We're not in the third inning anymore. We're in the bottom of the ninth. My sister is somebody who spent a lot of time with my dad. And he said, I can't give my dad that title, but I can give my mother that title. He brings up Brandy, and I loved how personal he made it. He was like, Michael, somebody that you know because you hired her. And a lot of people have no idea that
I didn't know that.
Michael Cole has overseen that end of the broadcasting, or at least did for a long time. The first shows I ever covered live as media, Denise, were the NXT shows in 2015 and 2016 at the Arnold Sports Festival. And I saw Michael Cole walking around there, and I was like, what the hell is he doing there? And the PR guy at the point at that time was like, oh, he's producing all of the broadcasting elements of it, like the announcers and the ring announcers and the like. So I love that Michael Cole now carries this level of respect because he's been around for 27 years and now his work is as good as ever. Fightful Award winner this year, Denise. This kicked ass.
And didn't he only miss like one day or something or two days? Like
one or two shows ever.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, I think obviously the big part that probably got the most people was when he was talking about how he only had his mom left to give it. And, you know, he gets really choked up and you're like, the whole time I kept thinking, like, how do you not root for Cody Rhodes, man? Like, this guy's out here connecting with everybody. We all got someone we love. We all got someone we're trying to make proud. And that connects with people. And so Cody Rhodes, you know, bringing up his mom, bringing up his wife, all of that was very, very emotional. And it's been a while since we've seen Cody Rhodes get emotional. It felt like for a while we were getting it very often, but it'd been a while since we'd seen an emotional Cody. So I thought this definitely ended up, I was not expecting this kind of a promo today. I think I was expecting him to be like talking all this shit on The Rock or things like that. Like that's the promo that I went in expecting. So I came out of it kind of going like, oh yeah, like this is a reminder of why we like Cody and why he's so, you know, why he's such a baby face.
Yeah. Fantastic. Kim Grace has loved Cody's interview, ready to run through a brick wall for him. Denise, you look so cute. Look at Denise.
Thank you.
What we're going to have to do is have you change your hair every week for super chats. Like that's what we're going to.
Sure. I'll do that. I've been having some other ideas.
Okay. By the way, guys, Denise did do a watch along on her channel of WWE Raw this week. You're going to continue those, correct?
All the way through Raw after Mania.
Cool. Make sure you guys check those out. Those, I'm sure, are a lot of fun. A lot more fun than what I have during Raw. I sit here in my dark office writing articles.
I mean, I will tell you this. I felt that Raw today doing the watch along flew by, Sean. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, when I watch just by myself on the computer screen, like, I get up, I do chores, I do all these things during the show. I really do. I wash dishes during the break. Like, I've been doing a bunch of stuff. And so, like, I personally felt like today flew by, and I feel like I have more energy now coming into the post show. It's really weird because you'd think it'd be the opposite. Like, I was concerned, honestly, Sean. I was concerned.
I was concerned, Denise. You were concerned? Like, man. I was like, damn, she's going to be bored by the time.
I was concerned that I was going to be like this watching. Like, I was honestly concerned, but it worked out. I don't know. It worked out.
Oh my gosh. So, Vic says, Cody says we're in the last inning. This is how we find out it's really been a best of seven series all along. Oh no, no, absolutely not. It can't be.
Sean, what if you do something different with your hair and you do little gold tips?
I had them briefly as a teenager, back when Blink 182 was into them. Yeah,
yeah, because it's an old hairstyle. But hey, might as well.
It certainly is.
Bring it back.
I think I've done enough different things with my hair. I got mine sawed off with a hook knife by Awesome Kong.
Honestly, like going back and watching like the first few episodes that you and I did here on the Raw Post Show, I didn't even recognize you or me.
Yeah, we looked very different. Yeah. Mr. Acosta says Cody Rhodes, the next Latino WWE champ, because he is half Cuban.
Yeah, I always forget that until they remind us on Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah. SAS says, do you think Rock pins Cody? Then The Rock gets upset that Roman couldn't pin him with the help of the entire bloodline. What I think, I don't know. I'm truly just like big question mark over who pins who at WrestleMania. I love that. I don't have a goddamn clue who's gonna win that match.
We're talking particularly about the tag team match with Roman and Rock. Okay, I'm expecting Roman and Rock to win, and I'm expecting Rock to pin Seth.
Okay.
No? I don't know. I'm not too sure. Never mind.
I think Bloodline win, and that helps set the stage for The Rock turning on Roman. Will says, I love how now it's a good thing that WWE is addressing their past and storyline. If we remember, they should remember Vince hated to do that. Yes, and Rock Hard says they also showed Jericho in the IC title graphics, which was a pleasant surprise. Yes. I don't look down on WWE when they're like, hey, yeah, a guy that was in AEW is a part of our history. Just acknowledge it. Like, treat us like we're smart, for the love of God.
Do you think Vince still watches the shows? And if he does, what are his reactions to that?
No, absolutely not. I don't think that he watches at all.
No. Hurts too much, probably.
Probably. By the way, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Please subscribe. We had the WWE Raw plans tonight, including the match order rundown, a lot of spoilers. Wednesday, we will likely have producers, backstage news, and the like. Today, we also had a ton of news on Okada joining AEW, why it was that he was a heel, and we broke the news that Top Dollar was backstage, who was in TNA. We'll have more on that this week. Swayze says, Cody Rhodes crying made him look soft. I'm 100% sure he is not going over. They're not letting an AEW founder be the one that beat Roman Reigns streak. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Cody doesn't win that title, they'll alienate a lot of fans at this point. Luis, make sure to ban that guy for his other chat that he put in there. Thank you. IC Contender Gauntlet match. Ricochet kicked off and defeated JD McDonough. What I liked about this is they got like 12 minutes to just go at it to start the show. They had a full length match, which I was like, okay, well, why weren't some of these a little bit longer? But I mean, this was like a 40 minute gauntlet match. What did you think about what we got there? Cause it was Ricochet beating JD in 12 minutes, but then Bronson capitalizing on the fact that Ricochet was beat down and winning in 2 minutes.
All right, so the first portion of this, I was thinking the same thing you were. I was like, damn, they're giving a lot of time to this particular match, and I was starting to get nervous because I like wanted to see certain other matches go longer, but even though I wanted to see other matches go longer, they won me over here. I'm not going to lie. I was very into Ricochet and JD McDonagh here. Like, this was the best I've seen from JD McDonagh since God knows when. Yeah. And Ricochet, I mean, he went out there and dude was working, man. Dude had his working boots on. He was going, I mean, he always does, right? But he was just going like 100 miles a second. It was very great to see all of the times that like JD McDonagh like tossed him into the barricade, tossed him into the ring post, tossed him all of these different places. I thought all of that turned out really good. There was a moment where I was like, JD McDonagh better not defeat Ricochet, better not defeat Ricochet. So I was very happy when Ricochet won that first portion.
Bronson Reed gets the win, but then he is beaten by Sami Zayn with a sunset flip powerbomb, which I love. KE775 says, hopefully a big year for Bronson Reed post-Mania, but this was the start of the Zayn overcoming everything. And this is something we had telegraphed on the show. I was like, yeah, it's going to come down to Zayn and Gable, which we'll talk about. But Zayn beats Reed and Nakamura back to back. Both of those guys have been built up to some degree, not a heavy degree in Reed's part, but Nakamura had been involved in some big feuds. It's pretty clear that's behind him now. I don't want to use this fodder for Zayn, but they were there to help make Zayn in this match.
Right. And so the moment where Bronson Reed continued the attack on Sami Zayn, I thought that was going to be them taking out Sami Zayn. I thought for a second Shinsuke Nakamura was going to defeat Sami Zayn, and that's how they were going to get rid of him. And I'm thinking, damn, this is the guy I was expecting to win this gauntlet. Mm-hmm. So they did a really good job of like making me think something else entirely was going to go down. I will say this. I love that they switched up the story here of the gauntlet, because I feel like the gauntlet is always the same. I even said this last week, like the gauntlets are always predictable, but this time they found little ways to make you think, oh shit, maybe this might not happen.
I'll tell you a great thing that I love that they mentioned. They're like, Sami Zayn is Muslim. It's Ramadan. Maybe I've been oblivious to it. I don't think they have ever mentioned Ramadan in that sense.
I don't think so either.
And the impact that has on an athlete. Because, I mean, there are certain UFC fighters, they will not take a fight during Ramadan or immediately afterwards because they're afraid it'll affect their conditioning. Now, there are plenty that also do. But I loved that aspect. Zayn defeated Nakamura, and then he's got Chad Gable, and Chad Gable gets in there and fires up, and you know, he's an honorable guy, but he was conflicted after he lost. Now, there are a lot of people saying that Gable's shoulders weren't down. Do you think there will be anything there? Josh Mansfield says, have to think they're going to add Gable to the IC match. I think it means a little bit more with Zane as a one-on-one because they did the triple threat last year. But I think Gunther could be like, you know, every year they're so desperate to make somebody beat me, they put me against two people. Is this just going to be the thing all the time? How are you feeling about the way the match ended and the possibility of Gable being added? Because Chris Kenny says, don't think that Chad's shoulders were against the mat.
So the moment happened so fast that I actually didn't notice that. Like right now when you said that, like, so that's why my mouth dropped because I didn't notice that the first time I watched it.
Very close.
And now I'm very happy because if there's a potential of it being a triple threat match, I kind of want to see that because honestly, like I felt bad. I felt bad after this match when Chad Gable did not win. And because Chad Gable gave Sami Zayn like such a beating. I mean, this man freaking had him in an ankle lock like multiple times. Like I thought it was over. Like there were so many things that happened here where I'm like, Chad Gable needs to win this. He has it. He's almost there. And then he doesn't. And it happened so freaking fast. It was like a moment of like, ah, you know, like, damn, he was almost freaking there. And so I don't feel like you could just leave it like that, you know, like you got to turn the tortilla to the other side, bro. It just can't be the one side. Turn it around. We need to finish the whole thing.
I like that reference there. Just Mass says Sammy versus Gunther is 100% the right call. Speaking of tortillas, you know, I took Alexis Littlefoot out with my wife to get tacos the other night because she beat Shaza McKenzie in a match the night before.
Nice. What kind of tacos did you have?
I had fajitas. She and I had steak fajitas. So
I love fajitas.
Oh, they're good. They're good as hell. Mr. Acosta says Gunther beats Sammy at Mania. Gable beats Gunther at SummerSlam. Gunther wins the world heavyweight title at Bash in Berlin. Yeah, whenever Gunther loses the title, like I think it will be one of those things. I don't like it when people lose their way up, like they lose an Intercontinental U.S. title, then get a world title shot. But in his case, nobody is going to look down on that.
For Sammy?
On Gunther moving up and challenging for the world title.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I misunderstood.
Because he's the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. And think of the ground that covers. Razor Ramon 4 times, Jericho a billion times, Miz a bunch of times, Warrior, Bret Hart, dumbass honky tonk man. All those stupid asses. Hushes says, I don't know about Sammy. I love him, but it felt like Gable's match. You guys have any insight where they went with Sammy?
You can't have, look, here's the thing. Like you can't have Sami Zayn not be in the WrestleMania card. Like that's just nuts. But this did feel like Chad Gable's moment. Like it felt like I was like, if it was anybody else, Sean, anybody else, I think they would have gotten booed, but because it's Sammy and people really love Sammy, it's different. Anybody else, I think they would have gotten booed.
Yeah, I completely agree. Matt Hennessy says, kind of wish Sammy. And also, yeah, he talked about there might be some pushback on that. I don't think there's going to be much pushback. People love Sammy so much that I don't think there will be. I do think they could add Gable. And I wouldn't hate it if they did that at all. But to me, it's like they did that last year. So why would they do it again? And if they did, I would really love Gunther to be like, this is me every year. I guess at this point, I never get a one-on-one match. It's just me always against two guys that I'm going to beat. Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And listen, there's a lot of times when a title changes hands like this and I go, you know, they need to beat the champion. However, if Gunther lost the title without losing the match, and then immediately challenge somebody like Cody for the world title, I wouldn't hate that either, depending on how it all goes. Matt Hennessy says, kind of wish Sammy was fighting Drew and Seth for the World Heavyweight Championship and Chad was going for the IC title. Zayn versus Gunther is a fresh match and can be a banger. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the beauty of this person's comment, Matt Hennessy, is that all these were good options. Yeah. That's where WDB is, as opposed to, well, we're just going to roll something out there and we all know the finish of it. There's a bunch of good options now because you don't have a geriatric, abusive, dumb fuck running the company anymore. So thank God for that. A guy who quite literally forgot the names of the people that worked with him and would forget that he had booked matches. Denise, what you got going on?
Is that it? We already did the whole show?
We did the whole show. It's been an hour and 7 minutes.
Oh, shit. That flew by, dude. Like, so freaking fast. YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. As Sean said, on top of all of my weekly streams, I'm doing Raw watch-alongs from now until Raw after Mania. So for the next 5 weeks, head on over there.
We aren't done with the show. Luis!
What did we forget?
Jey Uso.
Oh, yeah.
Jey Uso came out. We're getting Jey and Jimmy at WrestleMania. Now, that's what's going to happen. He says to accept the challenge and all that stuff. And the biggest thing I take away from this, we knew the match was going to happen. Do you think Yeet Chance replaces the what chance?
For this particular moment, for this particular story, yes. Nothing for nothing else, no. But this was pretty, like, we knew this was where it was going. So there wasn't really, like, no big surprise or anything like that here.
Yeah. Luis says to blame the plans. You don't base our rundown off the Raw plans, Luis. You base them off what happened. Anyway, we love you,
have
Luis.
A strong meeting after this. Actually, you know, I would like it if we had some meetings, Sean. We never have meetings.
Sure, we can have meetings. I actually did a meeting for my news team last year. It was the first one I ever did. We can do that. I thought about getting, like, a producer for these shows, but
Do we need one? I don't feel like maybe. We do. Do
maybe.
We?
Maybe. Then we could, like, switch the cameras out. We could do this.
I feel like you could do that on your own. I can do it. I'm really savvy, Sean. I can do it.
So there's a lot. There's a lot here. Anyway. Guys, we got an interview with Swerve dropping Wednesday. Looks like I'm going to drop my Candice LeRae interview later this week as well. Early notes for all of those on FightfulSelect.com. If you like that tier two, you get early access. I'm on Discord every single day. I mean, to be fully transparent, once WrestleMania rolls around, I'm going to be spending a lot less time on Twitter. It'll be mainly just news as opposed to dunking on a bunch of dummies. So Discord is where I'm going to be. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We've got an Ask SRS thing up there all the time. We're talking about every show. We've got sports and all that. If you're into football, specifically the Bengals, it's free agent time. I'm pretty sure I'll be over at Common Bengals W doing a couple of streams because I am pumped up about that. Thank you guys. I'll see you guys. Jesus. Probably Friday. I'll swing by for the SmackDown post show. Enjoy that Swerve interview on Wednesday. We're out.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.